say the cows are in the corn, they would say the cows, the brown cows, the round cows. Cows, the cows, the cows, they're in the corn, the
nice.
Corn, they're in the corn, the
that's
corn,
true.
The corn, the corn. And so there was another guy, he said, so that's what the place song is. Another guy came from Sydney, went to this cool country church, and he said, he came back, and he said, well, how was it? He said, well, it's kind of like ours, but instead of praise songs, they have hymns. And he said, well, what's that mean? He said, well, like, instead of, if you're going to say the cows are in the corn, it would be like this. Oh, thou greatest bovine that wandereth in the fields.
That's true.
The cows are in the corn.
That's true,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's true. It's like ridiculous. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
true. I love Rick Warren. No, Warren from Saddleback said when he was first starting the church, he would get anybody who could sing. And this one lady said, my friend's on sing too. He could be really good. He said, okay, no problem. So he came. He said he's got up. He had like a God hair in the and he's like, God loves you. He's real great.
Nice.
Like, oh my God. And he's the one who said, there's no such thing as Christian song, it's Christian lyrics.
Gotcha.
Fear the war. right. Good morning, everyone. Let's open with prayer. Lord God, we thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for singing You Are Always. I love that song, God, that you are a refuge and strength always. And so let us just worship you as we talk on week three about joy. And God, today I need to hear what you have for us. I need you to take this service and really bring your Holy Spirit here. And so we're going to celebrate you, and we're going to worship you. In your name we pray. Everybody says amen. All right, stand on up, and we're going to sing, but you got mask on, so you're not supposed to, but I don't know. So this is an old one, depending on how old you are, right? So we're going to just worship the Lord. Let's start.
Trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes in the morning, yeah. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Who's trading COVID?
I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond this curse, for this promise will endure. His joy's gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes with the morning. Yeah. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones and sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, and shame no longer has a place to hide. And I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance. Oh, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm staying in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm staying in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm staying in your love. We just praise you that there, that our fear, the fear that has been in this world, seems like from the beginning of this year, that we had so much hope, and now, God, we are all in some place of fear. They say anxiety is on the rise, depression is on the rise. It is because of fear. And so, God, that's why I'm wearing my shirt today that says, "Not today, Satan. We ain't having it anymore." And so, God, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm in your love, God. So just pour your Holy Spirit here. I'm standing on the rock of Jesus Christ, the solid rock. And so, God, whatever you have for us here, whatever tragedies, whatever struggles, whatever hopes, whatever dreams that seem to be gone away, we just claim right now that there is one God. His name is Jesus. And all the powers of hell, all the darkness will flee by the light of Jesus Christ. We give you praise. And this service is yours. So, Lord, take it, rock it out, and we're just along for the ride. In your name we pray. Amen. welcome everyone to church. We want to go ahead and lift up some of our prayers today. Again, we will start and end with our Unite 714 prayer, which is ready week 21, half the year. We have been doing, almost half the year, we've been doing these prayers. So we're getting there, all right? So let's go ahead and look at our prayer concerns. We have a few today. Again, Joanna asked for prayers for Joanne Edwards for healing of her arm and shoulder. And then also for Jackie, for her daughter Jackie, for her search for housing. Robin Hildebrand asked for prayers for Vicki Copenhaber, who is in the hospital with E. coli in her blood. So we want to definitely lift her in your prayers. Continue to keep everyone in your prayers as part of, again, as we look at this fight on COVID and everything else that we have here. And just pray for our world and our country and for any other individuals. Pray for anybody else that you know that is experiencing loss or struggles and everything else. All right? For those of you online or those of you sitting here, you can also go ahead, if you have other prayer requests, go ahead and submit them online, and then we'll make sure we get them. I know every week people will go ahead and add some while they're watching Facebook Live, so we welcome you for that to go ahead and add those. But anyway, you want to go ahead and add those prayers, and we'll continue to lift them up. All right, so we're going to start today again with our Unite 714 prayer, and it starts with a verse from Isaiah 59. Verse 15, it says, and I got to put my glasses on because I can't see it. Okay. It says, "The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and righteousness upheld him." And in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me, before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you today for these prayer requests, and I know we have others that are unspoken, but we want to lift up prayers for Vicki Copenhaber, for what she is struggling with. We want to lift up also Joanne Edwards in her prayer. Also, Emily Hewitt prays for her granddaughter. Emily was in a serious car accident, and she only has a shoulder injury, so we thank you for your protection and guidance there. And God, for all the prayers that are on our minds and in our hearts today, we lift them up before you. Because Heavenly Father, we come before you today praying in agreement with millions of believers representing every tribe, tongue, and nation from around the world. We are standing as one before your throne to intervene with you. Our cities and nations have been terribly broken and breached by COVID-19 and the ravages that it has brought. Only you, God, can heal our lands. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves before you today, asking with one voice that you please heal our lands and grant us a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, the supply chains in many lands are broken. Untold millions have lost their livelihoods and cannot afford the basic necessities of life. From being quarantined to starving and hopeless, there are many who are in desperate need of your touch. They are bombarded daily by the never-ending streams of grim and terrible news. Their prospects are very grim, and fear is their constant companion. So, God, today we intervene with you through prayer. For Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, give the leaders of our world wisdom, the wisdom that they need to repair their nations and economies. And we also ask for your divine provision and aid for those who are hungry, unemployed, and hopeless. So, Almighty Lord, the social fabric in many of our world's cities and nations have been freshly torn by centuries of old divisions and tragedies. These gaping breaches are based in ethnicity and religious nature and demographics and in national. And so we stand before your throne, number one, in repenting of those things, but we also are asking you to heal these breaches by your presence and power. Begin with our own hearts. Deliver us from the insidious tentacles of the blinding prejudice and crippling bias. For we know that what is impossible in society is possible through your church, because only you have the power to transform the human heart. So in the name, above all names, the name of Jesus, we speak to the divisions fracturing our world, and we say, be healed. And so, Lord, we are grateful for your mitigation of COVID-19 in many nations and cities around the world, whether it's through your direct intervention or the wisdom that you have given to scientists and medical professionals. The effects of this pandemic would have been far worse without your help. Yet many cities and nations are still writhing in its clutches. In these places, cases are spiking, and uncertainty and insecurity are stalking the souls of people around the world. But we thank you that in the name of your Son, Jesus, in the name that is above every other name and ruler of the universe, In the name of Jesus, we speak to COVID and we say, be mitigated and eradicated. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. So I can't wait till I don't have to give that prayer. What about you? All right. So aren't you like that? I'm tired of it, right? We're tired of this stuff controlling us. So anyway. Okay, so we have a couple announcements. Youth groups, stay connected on Facebook, so you want to go ahead and check on that. For facing a crisis, you don't have to face it alone. There are many who deal with certain things, and we have a very well-trained and caring Stephen ministry that will listen and walk alongside you. So if you have any questions, you can contact several people. You can go to stephen-ministry@havencc.org. Donna Wiggum, Joanna Shea, and Ron Frederick, you can also see them as well. Stay connected, once again, text, email, all those kind of things. So when God removes this whole COVID thing, we're going to say, hey, everybody show up like normal. And you guys are like, what is normal? And I'll have to talk about normal then. But anyway, we're going to have that as well. Also, grief share. We all deal with some amount of grief, some level. So for some of us, it may be the loss of a loved one. For others, it may be that we're just grieving in the midst of this weird circumstance that we have now, or we're just grieving loss of a job or other kinds of things. This one section, we run Grief Share here, but they're going to focus on the loss of a loved one or the death of a loved one. And it's a weekly seminar to support a support group that's designed to help rebuild your lives. And so we know the hurts, and they've been trained again. And everybody who's participating in this, we had a very large group that was rolling along, doing awesome before COVID hit. And so we had to adjust that, but they still benefited and loved that. So they will be held Monday evenings, starting via Zoom until God decides to remove COVID. And it'll begin August the 10th, which is when? You believe it's August 10th already? August 10th from 6:30 to 8:30 for 13 weeks. And if you need any other information, you can call 443-674-8698 or email griefshare@havencc.org. Okay? Or register at our website. You can also at havencc.org. Okay? Everybody good? Okay, so, and you know what? You know, I don't care whether you've attended here or you know somebody who doesn't. There's somebody going through grief. Connect them. Because they, particularly in this time when we are when everything's wrong about social distancing, right? It just seems so foreign to us. Doesn't it seem so awful in the church, especially? Like, you don't know how to act with people. I mean, it just seems like from the origins of Christianity, it was brotherhood and sisterhood, and it just seems like there's something wrong there. So Grief Share is a way that we can connect people that are going through that. The other thing that we have is we have reached our time. That is our second annual. We do it twice a year. We did prayer and fasting in the beginning of the year to start the year off. And so now we're kind of mid-year. And to start this new section of the fall that's going to kick up, we are going to have our 14 days of prayer. Okay, our 14 days of prayer service. It begins today. So we want you to go ahead and be praying. We'll put up online a little bit later. There's a prayer guide that we'll load up there for you if you're interested. That'll help you with prayer, because I don't know about you. How many people's mind wanders when you're praying? Anybody? I mean, I have ADHD, and I'll be talking to, I self-diagnose, but everybody knows it. But I'll go ahead, and I'll be sitting there, and I'll be praying. I'll be like, Lord, I really know. And I say, man, is that a cheeseburger I smell? You know, and then, Lord, I just love you, and I want to let you know. What time do I have to go get gas? You know, I mean, my mind just does that. And so this is a prayer guide that starts with something like the Lord's Prayer, and you can pray down through it, and it guides you. And so we want to get those to you and help you, and you can have them. On Wednesday at 6 a.m., you're like, 6 a.m., yeah, some people still are going to work. We realize that. They're actually leaving their house to go to work, so we recognize that. But at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, we will go ahead and we will meet here, and it will be very, very strict to that time. We will be done by 7. Boom. We're done. We're keeping like that. And what it is there'll be a few brief words, like a song, some brief words, a song to bring us back, and you just pray the whole time. You're just going around praying. I'm a walking prayer, so I have my book, and I'm like going, I keep my eyes open. God's not going to strike me dead. It's okay if you pray with your eyes open. It says pray without ceasing. So if you're praying down the road, Don't want to wreck it in there. You don't shut eyes and say, Lord, get me there, okay? Like that dumb song, Jesus Take the Wheel, okay? She was out in the snow, not him, all right? But anyway, I'll talk about that another time. But what I'm saying is it gives you an opportunity to go ahead and pray and pray the way you want to. Some of you want to be still. Some of you want to stand up. Some of you want to go. This will be, and believe me, you will be social distance. We'll have you out. And so we want to make sure that it's a great opportunity. We're also going to try to stream that also at 6 a.m. if you can't make it. Then on Saturday at 9 a.m., sounds a little bit better, right? Saturday at 9 a.m., we'll do the same thing. We'll do that for the next two Wednesdays and the next two Saturdays for 14 days of prayer, okay? Everybody good there? All right, now you have this. All these are here, right? So what we want you to do, what we've been doing has been very powerful, okay? So what we do with these is you fill out a prayer request. And so it could be anything. Could be lots of things. And what you do is what we will do, we will collect them. And then on Wednesday and Saturday, we will have them laid out in different piles here, and people just come and pick them up and pray for you in that. Okay? It's a powerful experience. And I will tell you, when I first experienced this in Alabama at Church of the Highlands, at the conference that I was at last year, they had thousands of people in this place. And they had different piles, and I had written a card the night before, and some of you might remember this, and I went and I grabbed one pile, and as I was praying through the pile, I was going through, and it was something that God and I were dealing with, and I turned around the corner, and I got there, and I pulled out another card, and it was my card. Okay? So just to let you, God moves through this. I needed to know whether God was hearing me, and he said, is that proof enough that I'm hearing you? And he gave me the card out of thousands of people, okay? So this is an opportunity where people can pray for you, and it's and you know, and that's what we want, right? We're in the body of Christ, and we need it. So fill those out, and today before you leave, where you put your offering plate, you can also put them there. We will collect them, and then we will go ahead and celebrate 14 days of prayer. Sound good? Sound good? You ready? 14 days. 14 days of prayer, committing to prayer. And if you want, throw in some fasting. It's good for all of us on quarantine. We all probably put this. Okay, all right, so we are here on week three of our I Choose Joy series, and I can't wait till next week because it's the last week of joy. I got to preach about joy. The last week I'm going to do it, just to let you know, because it is hard to preach about joy. It is hard to choose joy, particularly in the world and in my life as things have gone lately. But we are in this this third week, and it is a difficult time to truly, anytime's really difficult to try to search for and find joy in your life. It's hard to find it normally, but today's standards, I have had about a billion conversations this week, just this week, about people saying, my gosh, 2020. Ugh. Like we blame it on the year. Like it was coming if it was, we extended 2019 anyway. But there's something about, it's just too much. What else are we going to have? How many enjoyed that flash flooding this week? Like if it wasn't anything else, I am ready for like, you know, fire from heaven to go. When's the volcano in Turkey Point going to erupt? I don't know. That's what I'm feeling like right now. Anybody else? You know? And so, you know, Route 40 was shut down. You couldn't get by it, you know? You know, so people were stuck. There was all this kind of thing. And we're like, what else is going to happen? And so the theme of what we've been trying to do in this is that, yeah, outside here we can't find joy, but joy is only found in Jesus. And that's what we're trying to deal with. In week one, we talked about what we choose first. And it's perfect timing because we choose first prayer, and that's why we're going into our 14 days of prayer. It is not the last option. So many people say, hey, all I can do for you is pray. And you say, no, no, that's what you should do first. So as you see on your card, what does it say on your card right there? What does it say right on there? Pray first. That's what we want to do. We want to adapt that to pray first. That's the first thing, not the last thing that we do. So pray first. Then last week, we talked about the one that I said wasn't the most fun one, right? The one that was what we choose daily. And that is about getting freedom from our sin And we got these things that we just missed the mark of what God has intended. And by doing so, it keeps us bound. And I think the statement that rung to me all week is you can't be both guilty and happy at the same time. And so many of us try to balance that thing. And so we try that. And so, and that's really honestly the heart of the gospel so we can walk in freedom, right? That Christ came to release us from those things and have us walk in freedom. And so today, what we're going to talk about is choosing this new life, this life of purpose, a life of purpose. That choice is life-changing. That when we have a life change, that we make a choice to follow Christ, it is a life change that brings about joy. And so that's what I really want to focus, that there is a purpose in the joy that God gives to us. And so that's what we really want to focus on today. So I'm going to just say a quick prayer to get us started, because that's where I feel like I need to. And the shirt is not just a shirt. It is what I need today. Okay, anybody else with me? So here we go. So God, I'm just going to give you this prayer, and I hope you hear my voice. I know that you will. I know that you'll hear my heart. God, I am tired. I am tired of the mess. I am tired of the struggles. And I am telling you that I need your power to tell Satan, not today. Not today, it ain't happening, not one bit. And so, God, I ask that you restore unto me the joy of my salvation here today, and that you renew a right spirit in me, and that all God's people will celebrate you as we say amen and amen. So look at the person across the social distancing aisle for you and say, you're looking good today. Welcome to church. Go ahead, you can talk, okay? Now look at your second choice and tell them, you look like you need some joy today. All right, so nobody wants to tell anybody that, but they all need it. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Let's look at this. We're talking about choosing joy, and we need that in our lives. I grew up as a PK, as many of you know, a pastor's kid, and that comes with its benefits, but it also comes with its struggles. That means everybody is looking at what you do, because they think because your father is the pastor that you are just a little holy Jesus at 12. I wasn't. To let you know, don't want to shock you, but I wasn't. But one of the things was, I remember, like, things that you shouldn't do. Like, you shouldn't laugh in the midst of church. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just saying the pastor says something funny, one of them corny jokes that some pastors do, but I would never do. But you go ahead, and they say something, and you laugh at it. And not I'm talking about that. I'm talking about, like, when I was a kid, and I don't know about you, but, like, in the church that I grew up in, Northeast United Methodist Church, when my dad was the pastor, they had the pulpit up high, and right behind them was the choir loft. Anybody remember churches like this? Okay? Anybody remember what a choir is? It's like a praise team that wears dresses, okay? Just to let you know, all right? And they're all the same dress, so nobody confuses anybody else, and they have this little thing that's silky over top of them, okay? Am I lying? No. So I remember we had to sing in the choir, and I would be sitting back there. Now, just to let you know, there's nothing going to be good that happens when you put teenage boys together and put them in this choir robe thing after they sang a song that they butchered, and they sit there, and they're seeing everybody in the church and what they're doing. They're seeing people sleep. I remember we saw people pick their nose. And just to let you know, that is hilarious as a 12-year-old boy. To see somebody picking their, I saw them scratch parts of their body that I didn't know they should be showing in church. I saw this stuff, and it was funny. And then you and your friends are using bulletins to draw stuff on to get your friend to laugh. Am I right? Who did this? And so just to let you know, here I am. There's my dad. So everybody sees, and I want to tell you how I perfected the art of laughing in church. Because it's, I would sit there and I would start to laugh so much that I would go, and I go, like I sneezed. Because ain't nobody going to say, how dare the pastor's kid sneeze. No, I perfected it. But when you're doing that 15 times in a sermon, people either think you got some problem and need to get to the doctor, or they're looking at you and later, let's say, you got a little bit disciplined when you got home. What I'm saying is, many of us grew up in churches where we felt that laughter and smiles were checked at the door. That the joy of the Lord meant you sat your butt on a hard chair and a hard bench that we called a pew because it stunk, and then you sat there, and then you were miserable, and they dared you to breathe. Right? And so we wonder, then in the meanwhile, they're telling us about the joy of the Lord while they're dangling us over the fires of hell. And we wonder where the joy is of the Lord. So when you laugh in church, it's a little bit better. It's like a laughter because you're not supposed to. And I remember those times. What we see in our life is the enemy. This guy, Satan, is working to destroy our joy. He doesn't want us happy when we shouldn't be. And often what he will do is give to us a counterfeit joy that the world gives to try to fill us with that and say, this is what you need to make you happy. And it doesn't work, and our joy is stolen again. This verse that has been the theme from John 10:10, simply, let's look at this. The thief, Jesus' favorite word for this sucker right here. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. The thief is a pickpocket. Anybody ever been pickpocketed here? Anybody? You want to? No. Anyway, but I've watched shows about where people are really good at that. And they'll go and they'll reach in and they'll grab stuff. I saw a video of where a lady was talking to somebody and a little kid reached in and grabbed the wallet of the purse from a lady who was sitting there doing stuff. That what I'm told is when you have it, you feel like you've lost everything at that moment. You aren't worried about anything else. You're worried about what you've lost. And so Satan is basically the pickpocket of our joy. And Jesus came to say, sucker, you're not having it. Not doing it. Not today, Satan. And so what he wants, Jesus said, I gave my life for you to make a choice, and that choice is joy. In 2 Corinthians 5, we're told this, therefore, and anytime you see therefore, you got to wonder what it's there for. Okay, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has come. I mean, the old is gone, the new is here. And one of the things that we do, and one of the things that we struggle with is we often try to find joy in the old stuff, and the stuff that we like, and the stuff, you notice how, like, when you see or think about an old relationship, you think of the good times, you don't think of the hell that you went through with them, often, or you might see a friend that was your best friend that totally annihilated you, and you're like, you start thinking, and they're like, hey, remember when we did, and you're like, yeah, and then they go away, and you're like, eh, right? We look back with fondness on the old stuff and try to find joy in that. But in Christ, there is the new things that we need to grow together with. And so there, what I want to share with you is there is a divine or godly driven order to joy. That joy doesn't just plop down on us and there it is. And what we need to do is we need to be in the right path and the right order to experience joy. Jesus even talked about this order, and it affected him when in Hebrews chapter 12, which I don't have up here, but in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, when it talks about the cross, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now, that's something that we think is very poetic. We're like, oh, wow. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorned his shame. Yay. Let's talk about the cross, the crucifixion, his nailing, his bleeding, his crown of thorns, a spear in the side, his back beaten and raw up against a rough railroad tie. For the joy set before him, he endured that. Now, think of it that way. He said, woo, let's go. I'm doing this because there's joy on the other side of this. And what is the joy on the other side of this? The joy on the other side of this is you and you and you and you and me. That the joy was that he could open up the gateway back to the Father so you and I could choose joy when this guy was causing everything else but. The joy set before him, Jesus scorned its shame. Jesus endured this because he knew that joy was going to be there on the other side of that. The cross ain't pretty. It's vicious. It's bloody. It's a place of death. It's a place of sacrifice. But Jesus took that because of the joy of you and me on the other side. And so there is a divine order to joy. And I learned this as a very young kid in a Sunday school where they had those letters that had like a Bible thing in the letter. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like it had a drawing in the like J, and you saw like the cartoon guy, right? And so the first one was this, J, in the word joy, Jesus. Okay, this is not rocket science, but it's kind of cute. Jesus. So here's what we have. Joy is the first thing, and the J is Jesus. Jesus has to be first. Jesus has to be first because the joy is the resurrection and the power of sin and death. And so it comes through Jesus who opened that door to us. Matthew 6:33 tells us to what? But seek, aim at, strive after. How much? Seek what? First. first all of his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all the other things will be given to you besides. We want joy without seeking him. And it doesn't work that way. We have to seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness, the way of doing things, that pattern. Then we get the other stuff. Everybody following? You alive? Okay, good. All right. So we have that. That is the first thing. The O. What do you think the O is for? Others. Others. We need to think about others. We need to think about others. One of the things that I've realized that I love to do in life is I love to help people. I just love to help people. One of the biggest joys that I have, and I want to thank you guys for this, is through your giving, we help not only, we don't only help people in Haiti, we don't help people in other areas of the country, but we help people in our own community, some you may never even know about. And one of the greatest joys of my life is taking a worry away from somebody who is drowning in the midst of life. And because of your love and your commitment to Christ, we can take that away and get them connected to the right people. That is a great thing, because when we give and when we get together and when we do things, it is together that brings it. We think of others. When you think of others, it does something for you. One of the things I looked about is that any way I can help out, I love to help people. And it's not true that you find joy looking out for me, myself, and I. I've met many a narcissist in my life, and they are miserable people because everybody else is wrong, and they don't think about anybody else. But when you live in me, myself, and I, it tears you up. Look what it says here in Acts chapter 20. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of Jesus himself, who said it's this. Ready for this? It is more blessed to get than to give. No. He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give and receive. I got to tell you, when I like gifts. Anybody like presents? It's kind of cool. I like presents. But I've actually gotten to a point in my life where I actually have I started looking back from college years on. I always loved to get a gift that was specialized or important, that was something that made that person say, I thought about you, and this is specific for you. And I love doing that. So when I buy something for someone, it's not only coming from my wallet or from my mind, it's coming from my heart, that I want to give something to somebody that says, hey, this means the world to me to give to you because you mean the world to me. And so when we do that, that's why Jesus said you need to think about others. Because there's a lot of people out here who aren't thinking about anything except for themselves. And that's why we're in many of the situations that we are. There's not a divine order to me, myself, and I. Serving God and serving others is the pathway to joy. Jesus changes everything from a life of get to a life of give. There's a great story about John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. He got really, really sick, and he had some wealth, and he decided to give it all away. He gave every single bit away because he was dying, he thought. And then he got better. And he had to figure out how to make some money to live. But he gave it all away because he said, what does it matter to me? I don't need it. Give it to others. Okay, so we've got Jesus. We've got others. What do we have? Yourself. Notice that you are not first. You are not first. I am not first. I'm third. You see, we get so nervous and say, I got to get mine. You ever seen people at a smorgasbord? They act like the food's going to run out. You ever seen that? Give me them taters. Like there's no more potatoes back there in that vat of billions of taters, right? That's how they go. And it's like, I got to get mine. I got to get mine. I got to get mine. Got to make sure I get mine. And God forbid if there's one rib that's sitting there, you know, unless they see the guy running with a tray with more ribs. I'm like, go ahead. You can have that one. Right, you can have the old crusty one that's been there for days. I want the good new rib. We are so self-focused. We are not first. Jesus, others, and then yourself. And bottom line is, it's one of the reasons why we put ourselves first is because we really don't believe that Jesus will take care of us. We think that we have to take care of us, but God tells us he is in 1 Peter 5:7. Look what it says. And I hate this verse. Anybody hate this verse with me? Cast all your worries and cares to God. Give them all. Give every single one of them. Anybody got a care that you've held on to? Anybody got something you haven't cast to God? Remember what we were talking about? Casting? Give them all. Let it go. When you give that to God, let all those worries. Why? Because he cares for you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. If we do what? Give it to him. All right? So these are some of the things. Now, that you've probably heard that before, right? Okay, you probably heard those things before. Now, I got to tell you, with all these things and me understanding these things, I got to tell you, this is nothing new, but this has been an extremely tough year, a couple of months, to find joy and to choose joy. I kind of want to be miserable. Anybody else want to join me in that misery pot? We can just like sit around and be like, grumble. It's fun to grumble. Give me time, all right? But I took a look in the Bible, and I looked about how many verses on joy there is in the Bible. And in the NIV, which I just did a quick search, I found 333 verses of joy. And none of them have anything to do with joy outside. It all is from a relationship with God and what he does. Him first, okay? So as I looked at this, I wanted to find the scripture because I've been trying to find chapters and scriptures that kind of lay out the rest of the stuff for us. And I found the scripture in that 333 that seemed to sum up what I want to share today. And I found it in that peppy verse from that peppy prophet known as Isaiah. Now, if you've read anything about Isaiah, he ain't anything but peppy. It's pretty rough. It's pretty unusual to find a joy verse in this section in Isaiah. He's pretty somber most of the way. But Isaiah went through a lot, and it is shocking to find this. But basically, Israel is going through a tough time. And Israel has been going through such a tough time that it's about ready to get worse. Sound like anything we know? So Israel is struggling. They're getting bad news. Isaiah is the news source. So that just gives you a little bit about his life. So this is happening and happening again. And it seems like us now. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 through 3, here's what it says. The people walking in darkness. And we're talking about a heavy darkness, like that darkness that you just feel. The people walking in the darkness, and Isaiah's given prophecy, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. And so what we see in this is him talking about a prophecy to people who see it bad and feel it getting worse. He says, oh, you guys in darkness, look, here comes the light. Here comes the light. Here it comes. And when you see it, it's going to change everything. Because there is a darkness, but the promise is that God is going to increase your joy after you go through the darkness. And so the blessings of God is that he's walking with you in it, and joy will increase. How? Because it says you are going to rejoice in the Lord. How are you going to rejoice? When you live in darkness, then you see the great light, then your eyes are opened in a different way. And guess what? You rejoice like people at the harvest. Now, how many of you like Thanksgiving dinner? You ever just like when you're getting close to Thanksgiving, you're like, it's coming. Oh, yeah. It's coming. Got the turkey, that stuffing, some cranberry sauce. At night, I'm going to make one of those Bobby sandwiches. It's going to be bad, good stuff, right? How many get excited about Thanksgiving? You know, like about day three, you're like, not the turkey mess. Please just get ready. But before you're getting up there, you're getting excited about it. Anybody? Am I the only one? So you want it all. You like, oh, it's November 20th. Mm-hmm, getting close. You're getting excited. Don't care about a parade. Don't care about football. Give me that turkey, right? You're right there. And so you get excited about that. This is how they were in the harvest, because it wasn't like they could just, like we do, get whatever you want. Like during quarantine, how many of you said, man, I just want to go to a restaurant. I just want to sit down and eat, right? How many went to a restaurant when you could? How many, when you went out there, you sat and it was like, ah, right? Can I get you anything? Why, yes, you can. Anything you want to bring, just bring it on in, right? You were like, you were at that point because you were walking in the darkness of the same stuff, the same leftovers, the same people, the same stuff. You wanted something else. And it was like what you took for granted for so long. When you walked in the quarantine of darkness, that became great. So when you get to sit down to that Thanksgiving, that is how the people rejoice of harvest. You were like, yes. They were like, oh, yeah, here I see it. We're going to get to harvest this week. Yeah, look, when we got kids, we don't have that old moldy stuff that's been laying around. We got new. And they were excited about that. Or as a warrior rejoices when dividing the plunder. And I want to tell you something about this. Warriors only get the reward after they've been through a battle. Warriors never get a reward without a battle. They need to have the battle to get the reward. So if you're going through a battle right now, be ready for the light to shine in darkness and be ready for the reward that God has planned for you. And I got to tell you, I don't like that because I don't like the battle. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of being pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. I believe that, but sometimes it's too much. Sometimes it's too much, but I got to hold on to the fact that my joy is coming in the morning. That there is a light shining in the great darkness. Because we believe that the battle is the problem. And the battle is not the problem. Remember, if God is for us, you may be going through a battle. But you're going to bring something out of it. You're going to walk out of the battle with a plunder of increased joy is the promise of God. Now, it might be rough, but you're going to have a great joy. And I'm kind of encouraged by this, although the pessimistic side of me is still there. Anybody got one of those? I got plenty to share with you. Because I got to tell you, I'm just tired of going through things. I'm tired of going through things and not feeling like I'm getting anything but hardship. I'm just tired of it. I'm like, God, if I'm going through the valley, give me some victory. Give me just a little sign of that. And if I'm going through some pain, just let me help some people through my own pain. And if I have sorrow, let me use it to bring it in someone else's life, God. What I need for you, God, is to increase my joy as I'm walking through that valley of darkness. Because the question I ask, could there really be more joy than I'm experiencing right now? Is there more joy that I can experience in my personal life? Is there more joy than I can experience in my relationships? Is there more joy than I can experience with my children? Is there more joy than I can experience with my church family? Is there more joy than I can experience in my careers? Is there more joy than I can just have from God? And so I'm thinking about me this week, because what else am I going to do? And I was thinking that when I was a young kid, a little kid, I had a heck of a lot more joy. You know what I mean? Everybody, like young kids, you know, they cry hard, but they joy hard. And I had a lot more of that in my life. And then I recognized that as I got older, I start to get a little more miserable. And I don't want to be some old miserable dude. I mean, as I'm going through life, I should probably figure some more stuff out and be a little bit happier that I don't have to deal with it. Like, have you ever met somebody who's like older adult, mature adult? That is a miserable sucker. Like they have collected all the misery from their whole entire life and their whole purpose is to look at you and say, I'm going to make you miserable. I'm going to make everybody miserable. I don't want to do that in my life. And, you know, like, it's kind of cool because the older my kids get, I can kind of see that light of joy. You know what I mean? Because they start to live their own lives, right? I hear some parents who got some older kids like, hallelujah, amen, yeah, amen. And, you know, it's funny because I remember Reverend Jim Jones, who went, not the one with Kool-Aid, but the one from Rising Sun, he and I were really good friends. And Jim, by the time I had toddlers,
Jim had teenagers. And I remember telling him, man, we ain't get much sleep. He's up. They're up. Oh, they have an ear infection. Oh, it's horrible. Right before Easter, man, Jacob had an ear infection. It was horrible. We were up all night. And he said, wait till your 16-year-old has ear infections. And wait till you see they're working through that teething process. You ever dealt with a 20-year-old on the teething process? How fun's that, parents? You see what I mean? That we have these struggles that we go through to come through life. And so the longer I live, I want to have more joy in my life. And what I find out is that in order to have joy in my life, I've got to have a purpose in my joy, and my joy has to stop being from the stuff out here. For instance, so I'm going to give you a couple things that I believe that bring purpose in your joy. The first thing is this. Life-changing joy is inside out. It is inside out. It is not looking for something here. This is totally against our world, totally against our culture. You buy this, you get that, you look like this. That's going to bring you joy. It's not. Joy, you can have all this stuff out here and still not have it here. I know somebody who when they started their job, they went ahead and they worked on the docks and they were just making minimum, and then they do very well now. They're very wealthy, and they told me, at times I was happier when I had that basic paycheck to paycheck, but just had a joy in me that was in life. Okay, that was one of the things that they said to me. I told them I'd like to switch places for a day. Okay, it's something inside out. Galatians 5:22 through 23. If you don't remember any scripture, this is one you should have. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Notice those first three. I have always believed, I can't prove it, but I've always believed these are like a nested hierarchy. In order to have joy, you have to have love. In order to have peace, you need to have love and joy. Okay, I just believe that. But look, either way, if you don't believe that, just look how love and joy are intertwined with peace. If your life isn't peaceful, maybe you need to check out your joy. And if you aren't joyful, maybe you need to check out your love for God and others. You notice that Jesus said that's the first commandment, love the Lord your God and others as yourself. That's the first one. Then when you do that, then you'll have the joy of the Lord, which will be your strength. And when you have the strength, you have the love for God and others, and you have the joy of the Lord being your strength, then you're at peace. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Sounds real easy, but it's not how it works in life. So what we see here is I want joy in every area of my life. But our feelings take us all over the place, everywhere, and my joy gets stunted. God wants me to have a joy from the inside out. And so that's what I want to have. I want to have that joy. And so let's look at the next one here. You got the next one up here. Can you bring that one up? For me, I'm missing something here. Can you bring it up? Next one. Life-changing joy is beyond our circumstances. It is completely beyond our circumstances. So what you have here, you have a circumstance, a situation where we get caught up in the stuff around us. Anybody ever been caught up in the stuff around you? Anybody been so caught up in those circumstances of life that you don't know where to turn? And you don't know how to live, and you don't know what to experience. It's not based on what's going on, but joy is based in the truth of the promises of God. Psalm 19, verse 8 says this. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving what? Joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. What God wants to do, God wants to give you joy in the core of your being. Joy is greater than your circumstances. And it's hard. It's hard. You know, because a lot of times we look at our circumstances and we're like, I don't know about this. I didn't know what story I was going to share, so I found this one. And I remember one time I went to college. This was before Melissa and I met each other. And I was at college, and we had to go get our books. You actually had to go to a store and get your books. You actually had to have a carbon copy, a little card that said, this is your classes, and you had to look for them, and you had to search, and you had to find your books. So we were going into this bookstore, and I saw this very pretty girl. I'm talking like 80s pretty with the big hair. You know, like, don't smoke near us, her head's going to, right? You know what I mean? But she was a pretty girl. And here I am, this little freshman dude, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I'm going in, and she's looking at me like, she is a pretty girl. She was, Dale, I promise. All right? So I was sitting there, and I'm seeing, like, you know, these
other guys, like, they're looking at her too, and they're like, oh, we're going to go. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm like the third best looking guy in here or whatever. So I got a chance there. So after I was there for a while, I made a joke. I know that's hard for you. It wasn't one of my corny ones. It was a better one, all right? So I made some joke about something with my friends, and she was standing near me, and she turns around and starts laughing. I'm like, I found a way, all right? So I did. Ready for this move? Here's the best move ever. She had her card, and what it would do, it would have your books on there, but it also had your address on there, your name. Oh, yeah, I'm one slick sucker. Let me know. So she went ahead and she said, I said, are you having problems finding your book? I didn't know where my books were. I didn't have a clue, whatever. I said, let me help you. I was trying to help me. All right, so I went ahead, I grabbed this, I looked, and I flipped it over to get her name, and I put it in my mind. I put it in my mind. It's like, okay, and I went over. Oh, here it is. Okay, good. And I went home, and back then, this is days before everything was secretive, they had a directory of everybody's name, and I waited 2 days. Got to wait 2 days, am I right? All right. There was no social media then. Just trust me, I'm helping you out here, guys. All right. So, and I went ahead and I looked up that name and I was like, time for me to call her. Boom. And I picked the phone to call and it said number disconnected. So much for that, right? My plan went awry. But, you know, I had an in that the other two good looking guys in the place didn't have, right? Because I had that, because I used what I had. And guess what? I went to class one day and my college roommate was in there, and it was a big class, had two rooms in the front, and I see him on the other side of the classroom. He's going. I'm like, what the heck is he doing? And I walk out, and she had an interesting last name, and he said, she's in there. And I was like, all right. So I walked in there, and I was like, how you doing, right? Did this kind of thing, and I took her on a date, all right? So there we go. That's the rest of the story. But you know what I used? I used what I had in me, because when I looked at the circumstances outside, the other, at least two guys there, now I didn't have a chance. But guess what? When she laughed, I said, Jack's got it. I'm going to use what I got. And guess what God wants to do to bring joy and to bring blessings in your life by going ahead and using what he put in you to spout out and to bring joy in that area. I've got to go ahead and use, not get caught in my circumstances, but let God's joy take over, all right? Life-changing joy. The other thing, it is with others. It is with others. That's why we walk and we talk about challenging others to live. That's why we have a 14 days of prayer so that we can come together as much as we can to pray together as the body of Christ. That's why we serve together. That's why several of us that I see here today got on a plane a couple years ago, took vacation, sweated our rear ends off, that I'm still finding pieces of my underwear that is attached to my skin. I'm not lying, am I? Because it was so hot and moving. Guawash, right? Guawash, which means big rocks. And they always say more guawash. And there's an endless supply of large rocks. Did I do that? I did that with others. And I can tell you that living hot hell that we were in created some of the greatest joy in my entire life. Because it came from in here. And what I gave to them failed in comparison to what they gave to me. And that is because life-changing joy is with others. Me, myself, and I does not bring about joy. Everything great in ministry that has ever been done, that I have ever experienced, has been done with other people. Everything I've ever done in my life. First place teams. Some of you were sports people. Do you ever have a team where it was just you? What about work? Is it just you? Starting this church, God may have used me, but it took a ton of other people and still takes it to other people. You ever tried to have kids by yourself? Just saying. Have you ever had a birthday party by yourself? Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Oh, I made a wish that somebody would show up to my birthday. In Psalm 16:11, it says, you make known to me the paths of life in your presence. There is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. There is a fullness of joy. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of my joy tank running on empty. Our last one. Life-changing joy is going to win. It's going to win out. Salvation wins.
So I'm going to have salvation wins. I'm going to have relationship wins. I'm going to have a difference in my life wins. I'm going to have job wins. And that's why we go to this verse, Nehemiah. And I'm going to tell you the next series that we're going to do is going to be on Nehemiah. All right? So I want to tell you about this. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, do not grieve. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I was thinking, when my sports teams, I've been blessed to see a couple of my sports teams win championships. And there's something that happens. Anybody like confetti? Anybody like confetti? You don't like confetti? What's wrong with you? Like, I think confetti should be everywhere. Like, we should go to Walmart today and somebody buy something and go, yeah! They'd be looking at you like you're crazy, but it worked. But confetti is kind of cool. Do you know that on New Year's Eve, they drop in New Year's Eve in Times Square 3,000 pounds of confetti? Do you realize that at the Super Bowl, they drop 2 tons of confetti? It's kind of cool, isn't it? Confetti. But I started thinking about this. Confetti. Many of us live life like this. This is called a confetti eye. Right? And we live life this way. And this is how Satan, this guy right here, this is how he wants us to have our, woohoo, me. Yeah, I got it. And he wants us to go ahead and wrap and connect all about me, myself, and I. This is how I want to have my joy. And we go, woo, yay, me. Woo, yay, me. Yay, woo-hoo, woo. Yay. And that's how many of us live in our lives, just by ourselves. Our joy, my joy, have that. And then we may get to another point in life. Where we get caught in the shiny things of this world. We like the little kind of things that glimmer to us, and we'll say, you know, we want a new, if I have that new thing, if I have that new car, that new house, that new job, that new this, then the new clothes, those new shoes that I got to have, and then 3 weeks later I'm cutting grass in them. I mean, if I have that, then I'll have joy. Then I'll be happiness. And so if that person would just DM me, please. Come on, go and do it. Ooh, don't leave me open on Snapchat. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Oh, they let me open. If they just go, oh, they let me know. And then we go, and it's, yay. That's it. It's for that moment. It goes like that, all right? And then there's other times where we just need an event. We say, if we just can have an event, just one event, that's all we need. If I have that experience, like if I just experience something that's incredible, if I go on that one mission trip, woo, I got it. That one mission trip, yeah, that's experience. I love Jesus. Woo, this is awesome. And I have that one event, and it's so great. Or I have that one moment at a church, or I have that one prayer group, and it was just so awesome. And that one time, and I just go ahead and, yay. Well, that was fun. But there's got to be something else, doesn't there? There's got to be a greater joy that's here. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross for an experience. Jesus didn't die on the cross. Wait, I'm going to need you a second. Didn't die on the cross for me, myself, and I. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that I could see the things in this world and make me happy. No. Jesus died on the cross for something much more and much more important. So you going to help me, Keith? Sure. All right. So here we go. Here you go. Anybody else want to help me? Come on, Dale, help me. Here you go. Want to help? Here you go. Jesus died on the cross not for those things, but for so much more, that we can have an intense amount of joy, that it can be, see what joy does to you? It makes you nervous. The joy of the Lord makes you nervous. And you know why? Because we haven't experienced it. We don't live it. We have it in a moment. We have an experience, and we're like, yes, and then we forget about it when everything else in the world falls by the wayside. We don't have it. So what do? We, yay, there you go. That's the joy that we need of the Lord. That's the joy of the Lord, that Jesus came and died and rose again so that you and I can have joy and have it to the fullest. And that's all I got to say. All right, now you're happy, aren't you? I got another one if you don't behave, all right? Let's stand up and let's sing like we got some joy, all right? Let's stand up and let's worship God and just, I made a mess. And you know what? You know what's funny? I find this very humorous. Joy will mess some people up. Imagine if you did that to somebody at the grocery store. You didn't hear that here, all right? Man, that was fun. I need a couple more of them. Who doesn't love Amazon, right? All right. It's all right. It's on the other video. All right. So we've been singing a lot today about just struggles and struggles and challenges, and just trying to find joy. So today, let's just finish this, giving God a promise that we will, that we'll lift Him high. In the lowest valley, yes, we will give Him praise. Yes, I will. I mean, we can do this. We can have as much confetti on the ground as we want. We can have much in our lives, but if we don't have the joy of the Lord in us, it ain't gonna matter nothing. And this world needs it, and we need it. All right, so let's just sing this. Let's go ahead.
God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high. Bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of our name. With my
wave a shout of joy. In the mass that are not supposed to be talking. It works. All right. Hey, everybody, have a great week. Next week is our last week on joy, and then we're going to move to a series on Nehemiah. And then don't forget Wednesday, 6 a.m. I don't like early either, but I'll be here, 6 a.m., and just an hour, and we're out. We're praying, and we're just going to experience God that way. And also Saturday at 9 a.m., and remember, 14 days of prayer. God bless you all. Have a great and joy-filled week. God bless. Bye.